Hello today, Twat listeners. I gave a little thought to what topic I want to cover in my episode of Twat for this month, and I came up with the idea of going over some of the basics of denial of service techniques, what particular attacks are out there and how they work. Now, the reasons why someone might want to try to pull off a denial of service technique or mini-fold, mainly it's to harass a particular target, to suck up the bandwidth, or to keep them from being able to serve legitimate requests. The reasons for this could be political, or it could be blackmail attempts. Someone could say, give us such and such amount of money, or we're going to take your site offline. For a general overview of different types of denial of service attacks, also known as DOS attacks, check out the Wikipedia entry on denial of service. This audio file will just serve as a brief synopsis of some of the main types of attacks. I'm playing with the idea of doing a Shockwave Flash tutorial at some point that gives you a visual illustration of how these attacks work. One of the first types of attacks you should be aware of, just general nukes. This is when badly formed data is sent to a particular net application and causes the blue screen of death or core dump in the case of various Unix-like operating systems. Basically, all that's happening is either a buffer is being overran with too much data or the wrong type of data is sent, and the application freaks out and crashes. If you do this to a web server, well, the web service will go down. This sort of attack can be remedied by just proper balance checking and data sanitization. Running a fuzzer on a particular service might be a quick way to find out how vulnerable it is to various types of nuking by sending it bad data. Not all denial of service attacks, however, rely on badly written applications. Some are almost inherent in the protocol themselves, the protocol stack itself. For instance, SYN floods. For those that know a little bit about TCP, basically you have a three-way handshake when initializing connection. The machine trying to start the connection sends a SYN packet. You get back a SYN ACK packet. Then the original communicator sends back an ACK packet, completing the three-way handshake. The way a SYN flood works is just a series of SYN packets are sent to the target machine, taking up a great number of connections and ultimately keeping it from serving legitimate requests. Now, most modern TCP/IP stacks on Windows and Linux and other operating systems are hardened against SYN floods, but it used to be this was a major problem. Another type of denial of service attack is what's known as a LAND attack. Basically, in a LAND attack, what happens is a host receives a connection that appears to come from itself. For instance, let's say a web service is running on port 80 on the target machine. It receives a request that seems to come from its own IP address and from source port 80 to send back information to itself. Basically, by doing this, it would cause an endless loop where the machine tries to respond to itself over and over again. The way a LAND attack is pulled off is usually by someone using a program like Nemesis and constructing a packet where the sender and receiver are the same IP address and the port number would match as well. And by doing as such, basically causes an infinite loop on that machine that they're targeting. LAND attacks of this sort are usually associated with TCP/IP, but there's no particular reason why a similar technique couldn't be used at, let's say, the MAC address level. I've seen many a wireless router out there that freaks out if a machine tries to connect with the same MAC address as the router itself. I'm using the Wikipedia entry on denial of service attacks as my notes for this, so I'll be covering the various types of attacks pretty much in the same order Wikipedia does. There are also some interesting attacks that can be done via ICMP. That's Internet Control Messaging Protocol. One attack of particular interest is what's known as the Smurf attack. A ping can be sent to not just one single IP address, but also a multicast IP address. If you take the subnet mask and IP address, the part beyond the subnet mask, if all that was set to ones, that would be the broadcast network address. If someone was to send a ping to that, they would get back a response from all those machines capable of responding. So, what the attacker does is use a program like Nemesis or some other packet construction utility to create a ping packet, address it to an amplifier network, some network where you know enough of the subnet mask and the IP address to be able to figure out what network address to ping, and then what they'll do is they'll forge the IP address of the machine they want to target into the packet. So, let's say from your phone line, you forged this using Nemesis, you send it to an amplifying network, and the amplifying network responds back to the machine it thinks sent the initial ping, thus overwhelming it with ICMP traffic. Similar attacks can be done via UDP floods, which is usually known as a fraggle attack. Next, there's the teardrop attack. In a teardrop attack, packets are sent in a fragmented form, and it's sent to where the payload size is set to overlap, so that when it targets a particular machine that's susceptible to the teardrop attack, and it tries to reform the fragmented packet, since things are overlapped and the sizes are wrong, the protocol stack freaks out and crashes. Older Windows-based operating systems used to be susceptible to this attack, as well as some older versions of the Linux kernel. You will occasionally hear a term DDoS, or Distributed Denial of Service Attack. A distributed denial of service attack is basically when someone controls a botnet, a zombie horde of machines on the internet that does someone's bidding. Someone could tell these machines to, at a certain time, send a large amount of traffic to a certain website, thus sucking up all of its bandwidth and keeping legitimate users from connecting. These sorts of attacks can be much harder to defend against than others because, one, the traffic could be seen as very legitimate. It could be something as simple as requesting an image off of a website. And two, since it's distributed, it's not like you can block just one IP address to stop the attack from happening, since it's coming from all sorts of IP addresses around the internet. There are also various sorts of odd DNS and routing attacks that could be done. If someone controls a primary DNS server, they could route traffic away from a particular IP address to one of their own. Or if they control core routers, they can say, don't route these particular packets to these machines. If someone's on a local area network, they can choose to op spoof between two machines, and instead of forwarding packets as they normally would, just tell it to drop packets, essentially taking the target machine off the network. Then you also have unintentional attacks. For instance, if you've ever had your website posted on Slashdot or Dig or Fork or some other large community website, you might notice a large influx of traffic all at one time. If your website's ran off your own local connection via cable modem or DSL, more than likely it's not going to stand up to that sort of attack. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Trot Radio. Once again, if you want to learn more about these particular types of denial of service attacks, check out the Wikipedia entry underneath denial of service. Also, if you want to try out any attacks on a machine, feel free to use hackme.irongeek.com. That's hackme.irongeek.com. Have a great day.